The following episode contains discussion of sensitive subject matter, including eating disorders and body shaming. Our discussion may be triggering to some, so listener discretion is advised. We recognize that every individual is on a different path on the journey to self-love and acceptance. At What Are Friends For podcast, we strive to cultivate a safe space to listen to, uplift, and honor each other's experiences. To seek help or speak to someone about your experiences with eating disorders, visit nationaleatingdisorders.org. We love you, WAFAM, and you matter.
No, really, what are friends for? Friends are for telling each other that we're beautiful. I'm Pallavi Sastry.
And I'm Pallavi's best friend, who really thinks Pallavi is beautiful, Gabrielle Ruiz.
I think you're beautiful, truly.
Thank you. Can you say thank you?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the reminder. Okay, you know what? We're already jumping right in.
Let's dive in.
Jumping in. This is our final solo episode of the season, and it's also tis the season for diet companies to fucking tell us how to look and how to be more fat or skinny or lose weight, or basically people selling us on, you know, what to buy and make our bodies and ourselves better. Can you tell that I'm pissed?
I can tell that you're pissed. Is this our first segment? This is what's fucked up for you, isn't it?
It's always what's fucked up for me. And I think I wanted to just, like, I've been kind of biding my time to figure out how I want to talk about this. And what pisses me off is I still don't know. And I don't know if I'm going to arrive at what I know and don't know by the end of this episode, but here we go.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. We wrote notes on this. We usually do write some draft for our listeners to know, some BTS. We do draft a little bit to just feel like we can get to points that we really want to get for each episode, especially with guests. And yesterday we ended with, it's okay to be angry about something. And I want to give that to you, Pallavi, as your flex for this episode, that you are you're embodying and exercising of what really gets you fired up in an angry way.
You want to know what it is? It's honestly, it's the helplessness that I feel when a friend or anybody talks about how they want to lose weight because of a specific feeling that they think it'll give them, or to please someone or some entity, or to get some sort of job. It just makes me, like, question my own confidence when that happens, because, you know, when I hear my friends do it, I get worried. Oh, should I be worrying about that? Or should I also want to drop a pant size, and match what somebody else is doing? Like, is that the reason why I'm not getting a job? Is that the reason why I'm not being complimented in public? Is that the reason why my clothes aren't fitting the way I want them to? It all of a sudden, like, it makes me question my own confidence, and I feel like it sets me back because I don't know how to respond to someone I love saying something like that. You know what I mean?
Yes, the helplessness in friendship is extremely relatable in so many ways. I mean, we've talked about it with finances. We talked about it when it comes to therapy, when it comes to relation, you know, we haven't yet, which we want to, is like, hey, your partner sucks. Like, the helplessness and the powerlessness of it when it comes to body image conversations with friends is extremely delicate and crippling for your internal battle going on within yourself, because and I think it has a lot to do with comparison, which we talk about a lot on WAF, about, you know, comparing yourself with friends when it comes to many aspects of their life. And what gets me fired up about body issues and friendships is the numbing silence version that I go through, and how that's how I respond, instead of, like, getting into my head. And is their reflection supposed to make me go inside myself and start judging myself? What happens to me is feeling like the body image issue, self put down sentence that a friend will have in a moment, I get silent and I don't shut it down. I don't feed it saying, no, you're fine. No, you're skinny. No, you're beautiful. Most of the time, what I do is I don't say anything, and I kind of just negate and pivot. I have helplessness in that way when it comes to this conversation.
Is it because you feel, I'm very curious about this, because is it because you feel like it won't sound right coming from you? Or like, you know, what is it? What's the hardest thing about that that you're navigating in the moment, would you say?
I feel like I'm protecting that friend in a backwards way because I don't know everything that's going on.
Okay. So you don't want to try and respond to it because you're not actually sure where it came from for them. And so you don't want to assume.
Yeah. I mean, the depths of why people do what they do, right? Or the depths of why friends do what they do. And we talk a lot about loving our friends on the show. So to love them is to just be there for them versus if I were to say, hey, what's going on? Then it could be an ocean
Right.
or an iceberg that I have no idea if it is my responsibility to chip away at. So then I feel helpless and then I feel like a bad friend.
Yeah, it's so hard to I get that. I feel for you on that, but, or for anybody in that situation, because I've been in that situation too. It's like somebody walks in to sit at the table at a happy hour and they say something self-deprecating about their body. And you're like, is this the moment that I bring the whole vibe down of the evening? And by asking this person, hey, is everything okay?
Yeah.
Exactly. Hey, don't say that about yourself. You know what I mean? Like it's
and the shut up, you're beautiful. Like, I feel like that doesn't help anyway, you know?
Yeah. And this is what's so frustrating about it, because like I wish I was more optimistic that society will change our baseline definition of words like beautiful or hot, you know, but for me, it's like the start has been to try and refer to myself and any friend with those adjectives, regardless of body type or physical attribute in any way. It's like I'm trying to make a conscious effort. And this is where the work is coming in, right? And like, I also talk about this in therapy. A conscious effort to use any word to describe a vibe or an essence of somebody, right? It's going to be hard to do though. And this is the thing that I'm working on. This is the crux of it. It's going to be hard to do for me to change the definition of those words if I don't truly believe it for myself. That's where I'm at, right? And I is that this like sort of crosswords, like, do I really believe that I'm beautiful? And do I care about other people's opinion? And the answer is yes. And so that is constantly at odds for me. It's like, can I celebrate my worth and my ability in this body that I am in, period.
And what is so infuriating is you're not wrong in any way that the world uses that as a PR stunt to keep buying.
Yeah.
That struggle is exactly what it is, that struggle. But back to friendship, as your best friend, I have a question. Do you actually believe me when I say that you look great today, you look hot today, you look beautiful today? Do you believe me? Like when I say it.
In my heart of hearts, I do. I do believe you. But I think I have a hard time knowing how to apply that further, if that makes sense. It's like past that moment of receiving a compliment, how do I make this true? How do I grow that sentiment? How do I grow that feeling? How do I use that as fuel for myself?
Oh, fuel, really? Do you think that's the only option?
I don't know that I've ever truly had a frank conversation with a friend about my body image issues, you know? So I don't really know where to go from there when I get a compliment, because I don't know, to your point, when could I come back to you? Like, or would it be too much to just come back to you, my best friend, and be like, I need to talk about how I don't feel good in my body. Like, I need a moment to figure out how to feel good about my body. Will you just talk to me about that? It's something about that. Like, I don't have the confidence to make that more important than I think it is. Or like, I feel like it's trivial. And so I shouldn't be taking up people's time or something, you know? It's such a strange, this is one of the biggest mind fucks of my life, to be honest.
Well, I have time for you right now. We're just recording it. That's the only thing that's different. Super public. Very brave of you, Paula, to talk about this today.
Thanks. So here's what I do want and what I desire about this conversation, and that's for it to be a bigger conversation. And I'm trying to figure out where my place is in that bigger conversation, and how do I make more noise about it so I can actually be part of bigger change, so that it'll help me feel more confident for myself, if that makes sense. Where I find a lot of meaning in being of service. And I do think that this could be a conversation where I can be of service. I just don't know my entry point.
And I feel like I can encourage you in this moment that are possibly in a season that you're not ready to serve.
That is so hard for me to hear, because like that's like a big part of my self-worth is like, is what I'm doing useful in some way?
What you're doing is preparing to serve. That's useful. I feel like that in my motherhood right now. I feel like I am preparing to be able to get back to work again. And the fact that no auditions are coming my way right now is a mind fuck, because I am so busy and so tired being a stay-at-home mom. And as rewarding as that is, it's a battle to feel like, am I doing everything I'm meant to do? Am I doing everything that is supposed to help us? And yes, there is a, I feel like, and so I find the present moment, the present season, a, whether it feel like a hibernation or whether it feel like a meditation, because meditation is present. Meditation is still, it's not distracting, and it's work as still as it is. And I encourage you to talk about it right here, is what is the work that you can do, not need, but that you can do when it comes to body image, whether it be an issue or not, that you can work on to then be able to serve.
Okay, so one thing I can do, and what I continue to do, and it is something I do struggle with often, but I'm making a conscious effort to fight through it, is to just be seen in some way. And I think the pandemic and being postpartum in the pandemic really got me in my head. And so now that we're leaving the house more often, I do want to be okay with just being seen in public in this body that I now have post baby. And so not shying away from being in public, not shying away from getting my picture taken. Like, it's just small things. Like, nobody really has to like be part of my internal conversation when those things are happening. Okay. But that is a way, in my case in particular, our case, in the work that we do in the industry that we're in, that it is important to consider that just being seen.
Okay.
And so that's what I can continue to work on, is just being okay.
And maybe another way of thinking of it too is not hiding.
Yeah. I've worn certain types of clothes for a long time because I was hiding things. So I think you're spot on there.
Yeah. Skeletons in our closet really hold us back, you know, and we're hiding like these secrets that if they do come out, there is so much like relief, because maybe there's the option when you stop hiding it that it's fine, or that it's horrible, or it's emotional, or it's exhausting, and then there's the other option that it's cathartic and enlightening and actually amazing, right? But we don't know, because we're just creating the results and still hiding. It's just very brave to talk about it, but also brave to understand that what we want to be doing takes work to get there. And I think that's where you are, which is even braver, because it's working on yourself to be able to serve.
Yeah, you know, when we were taking notes for this, I remember you saying something about how you don't have these thoughts in your head about your own body. And like, that to me is like so fascinating. Like, I literally don't know anybody else like you that honestly, like I don't know another single human that doesn't think twice about what their body looks like, you know? Like,
thank you.
And maybe that's why I hesitated when you asked me, do you believe me? Because I think in my heart of hearts, I really do, like I said, but I'm so confused as to why you have zero negative thoughts about your own body, because that is something I don't know anybody else that doesn't have that.
I did do a magazine article about body talk. I will confess the body issues that I have experienced in the past, because they do exist. I mean, I went to a college with weigh-ins that just got rid of it for the curriculum year of 2022. For that to be drilled and gaslighted for so long, I react to abuse in a way that I become calloused and not necessarily numb, but I become like, I just create a wall with that feeling. I mean, I tried bulimia once and I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, no, this is disgusting. I'm so sorry for everyone that has gone through bulimia that did not feel that way. But that's how I felt as well with antidepressants. Like, I was like, I can't, I rather just not do the medicated way. I rather not do the throw up way because I did try it. So I have had body issues internally, struggled before. And I went to an extreme and realized it's going to be okay. Now I know that's not me. And I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to turn the volume down a little bit. I'm going to, you know, the wavelength is just, let's chill out. Let's take a step back. Let's see what's really going on. In high school, when I broke up with my boyfriend, I was devastated. And like, I lost so much weight. And it unfortunately put me in a bad situation for college because I was underweight when I auditioned and they just kind of kept pushing me there all 4 years. And I do not say this with any vanity, but yes, when I'm stressed, I lose weight. And I remember my high school cheerleading coach looked at me and she went, Mijita, you are too skinny. It doesn't look good. What's going on? And I liked it. And I went down my sophomore year to the weight that they asked me to, and I liked it. And it's like, well, if you are that skinny or if you're on that number, can you go one more number? Can you go one more number? And I talk about that in the Body Image magazine article. The fact that my unhappiness and my struggle to be in that stage was just so torturing. Like it was like, I don't know if you feel tortured in your mind and in your body image journey, but that was torturous for me to know that I had a power that was dangerous, but in the end is coded in unhappiness. The only reason I was like that was because I was unhappy and I was miserable. And there was a time also in New York when I hurt my ribcage in a dance show years before this incident, where I realized as I got older that when I would stress and start feeling injured again and my body was taking a hit, food started tasting like dirt. And that was for me a huge turning point where like, wow, when I'm unhappy and I'm this skinny, I am miserable. When I got married and was doing TV instead of Broadway, I was really being worn out with my work, 8 shows a week, and just the hustle of New York was wearing on me and not making any money. And I found the value of like crafties and the fact that they fed you there and the fact that I could, you know, food made me happy. And the only reason I could taste it is because I was happy. And I went up, and the crux of the article is I went up a pant size like in season 3 of Crazy Ex, and I told Melina Root, the costume designer, I said, Melina, I'm so sorry. It's just I'm so happy. And I was like, when I said that out loud, I was like, ever since then, I've been like, fuck body image. I just want to be fucking happy. And so I've always had, since then, I had this empowerment with my pregnancy, with now being a bigger size than I ever have been, with it going up and down. And every time, yes, Pallavi, I do have a battle of disappointment or of, man, I really just should let those clothes go because I want to have another kid. So when am I going to wear those again? As well as I'm 37, not going to wear that again. And for fashion, period, I get very defensive of how hard my body works, not only to get the life that I'm striving to have, but just to be happy. So I rather be happy than have a perfect body.
But what's perfect? That's my whole thing.
Who the fuck knows? You're never going to know that.
Exactly.
But that's what bothers you.
That's what I'm trying
to say. So that's what bothers you.
That's the thing that bothers me. That's my whole dilemma. Is like, I want to be happy, but everything is telling me not to be.
That's what you have a problem with.
That
right?
is what I have a problem with. That is mostly what I have a problem with.
Well, is the problem also that it gets to you?
Yes.
Okay.
It does.
That's completely understandable. I'm so sorry that it's a battle, because I understand that.
Yeah. You know, and I can completely relate to, you know, being miserable. Actually, the summer we met was the skinniest I've ever been. I was still being told that the shape of my body, like being a curvier woman, was, you know, was why I wouldn't be in certain dance numbers, right? Because I wouldn't look like anybody, like I would look like the rest of the women, you know, in those costumes. And that was also like, I was working out and, you know, going to rehearsals. I was like eating cereal twice a day for meals, like that special K. I did that special K shit that year.
I laugh because I know exactly what the BS you're talking about. Yes.
And at the end of that summer, what happened? I busted my knee. My joints were literally like, we have nothing to hold on to. We're going to crumble.
We are crumbling.
And so it's like, and now in my 30s, like I'm so vigilant about how I say anything about clothing, about body, about anything around my 3-year-old. Like, I will roll over before she thinks anything negative about her own body, right? So I am very much at a crossroads right now. And so to your point, it's like, I am desperate to be part of the conversation, that like part of the changing of the conversation, because it does get to me and I don't want it to.
I'm just proud of you for saying that. I think that's a resolution.
Yeah. I think the resolution, honestly, and like we said this before, it's like, it's not that I have an answer. It's that I don't have one way to fix it. Cause I'm a fixer. And I just need to let it be fucked up. I need to let all of this whole thing of this like construct of beauty
and that to me is a flex.
Why? It's so frustrating.
I don't know. Maybe it's because when I discovered Meisner technique, acting technique, you have to be exactly how you feel and the lines are always the same, right? So you can be devastated, you can be excited, you can be constipated, whatever. It's always still the lines and be in the moment. That's also improv, right? Like you don't know what's going to happen. For me, being sad, like I talked about it in some episodes before, is also valid, which valid to me is also great and empowering, because it, even if, because being present is empowering. It's probably the most difficult place to be.
Right. Yeah. And you know, and to your point, like, you know, trying to, how do you gauge how to talk to a friend who might be saying something self-deprecating and stuff? You know, I've thought a lot about the clothing swaps that we've done over the years, you know, and how we have a couple of friends who are on the curvier side, myself included. And it's like, you know, do they feel a certain way coming to a clothing swap, not being able to take anything home? Mm-hmm. You know, like I've thought about that a lot. Like, honestly, after one, I remember it kept me up at night because I was thinking about it, thinking, do I need to say something about this? Do I need to call this person the next day? You know?
Or maybe they hadn't even thought of it.
Right.
Maybe they just like the company.
Right.
Yeah. That's really tricky.
Yeah.
That's really, really tricky.
I was with our good friend, Sarah, over the weekend, and she just, you know, recently publicly shared about this health thing that she's going through, and I got to see her in person for the first time, and like we were on FaceTime with somebody, and that, you know, that person hadn't seen Sarah in a while and immediately complimented how skinny she was. And I'm sitting here thinking, God, she's not well. And like she didn't, you know, she's going through a health
Yeah, and she
of course took it in stride in the moment because we didn't want to embarrass that person for, you know, giving what they thought was a compliment. But, you know, it's like, oh, God, it's just so layered.
So layered and infuriating and delicate and a web. It's just a web of navigation with every friendship conversation. And the fact that we aren't necessarily talking about one friend or how to fix this, you know, I would say that's usually what our episode goals are. I'm happy that we have come to a part at the end of the season that I hope we do in our upcoming seasons where you and I just talk about our issues.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let's just talk about our issues. I feel like our solo episodes do well and people like listening. I'm so happy that you guys listen. If you haven't left a review, please do. And I think this show for me is a wonderful commitment to grow ourselves, which luckily grows our friendship because I love it.
Yeah, I like that we use this time to try. It's not about perfection. It's not about being having a one specific result. And I think that's also what this topic is, right? It's like, it's not, let's, you know, what I'm aiming for in this topic also is like not finding the perfect way to tie it up in a bow, because there is no perfect body. There is no standard that any of us should be living up to, just the way that friendship doesn't need to be. It's very imperfect. And so I think I'm really happy that we are doing this very last solo episode at the end of the year at a time when a lot of people are thinking about this issue. And I hope if you're listening to this during the holidays, that it's not, you know, it's making you feel better or more, you know, it's making you feel seen and heard and not making any added pressure to whatever you're going through with your own body image. So that's what I want for this.
Lightning wall.
What is your ideal best friend gift to give?
Brunch and a mani-pedi.
What is your best ideal friend gift to receive?
Brunch and a mani-pedi.
I'm so lucky I'm your best friend. What is the best gift you've ever received from a friend?
I think my baby moon is my favorite gift I've ever
received.
Hands down.
Shout out to Risa and Sophia getting there early and decorating. What is the worst gift you've ever received from a friend?
Okay, listen. I don't know if she's my friend. My mother-in-law gives terrible gifts.
I didn't see that one coming.
She gives oversized clothing. Gabrielle, what is your ideal best friend gift to give?
I've never done this, but I would ideally, if it for, should it be a dream, a getaway to a beach.
Can't wait.
I offered you to go to that wedding with me in Mexico. You said no, bitch.
You didn't go either.
Because I couldn't get someone to go with me. So I already offered it. I went out.
Oh, no. Was that my one shot?
No. It was the one shot I could afford it so far.
What is your ideal best friend gift to receive?
Spending time at my house, at my own place. Spending time there.
What is the best gift you've ever received?
The most impactful gift I've ever received that meant so much to me is when you, Sarah, Raina, and Ashley came and visited me in Maine when I was doing West Side Story. And you guys spent the money and the time and support to come see me in my show. And then we had brunch. I didn't understand it when it was happening, but when I finally grew up more into the to the person I am now, I have to say that is the best gift. It changed me. It changed me forever.
Aww. I love that. What's the worst gift you've ever received?
So I do have a friend. I'm ready with this answer. I do have a friend that gives me tchotchke gifts, and it's like, in the holidays, and it's like, it's not you, Paula V, but I don't like spatulas with Christmas holly on it or napkins with, like, on the nose. We're talking about what we're talking about in the gifts, those tchotchke ones. Like, 'tis the season reindeer candle with reindeer scented cinnamon.
No.
And recently, one holiday. And the thing is like, this person loves to gift this way. So it's extremely endearing and sweet. But I try to recycle that gift that season because luckily my birthday is on December 12th. And luckily the holiday is right around the corner. And I'm like, here you go. Take it away. Like scented soap, Christmas soap. Ugh.
I wonder if we're talking about the same person. Do I know this
person?
Yes. You know what this person, okay, yeah, we are. You know what this person gave me last year? Was Hershey Kiss chocolate mint chip fucking lip gloss. I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, I kid you not, Gabrielle. What? That shit shows up whenever I forget about it for like months.
You're like, why are you still here? How did you make it to my new house?
In like this bin where I keep my winter socks. So when I like pulled out my winter socks this year, it was in the bin. I was like, "What the? Where did you come from?" Like,
oh my gosh, I totally know exactly what you mean. That's the worst gift. And then it's like six things. So now I have to get rid of and recycle six things. More work for me. Okay, so final question, Pallavi. What are friends for during the holidays?
To sit in PJs, drink wine, and eat cheese at each other's house. Gabrielle, what are friends for during the holidays?
This is true to my heart, and it really means a lot to me, even if it sounds weird. Friends are for house sitting and pet sitting when we're away. For the holidays.
Fuck off. No.
No, it means a lot. It means a lot. It's a lot to ask. And it means a lot when someone says yes and you're like, thank you for also not holding this over my head in 10 years, I hope. You know, like, I would love to do it for you if I can. But like that person that not will, but that can, that friend, that's what friends are for. Shoot. So, Pallavi, let me know if you're staying in town during the holidays. Virginia.
I was trying to end it before you could ask me.
Happy holidays, everyone. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
1, 2, 3, 4.
This episode was produced by Team Access Productions and Fast Nickel Inc. and presented by Hoo Ha Ha. Our co-producer is Anna Daneker.
Our consulting producers are Kathleen Cho, Rose Harwood, and Philip Pisanchin.
Head of production is Emily Albright. Digital content director is Susie Cabello. Our digital production assistant is Daniela Heredia Vega.
Our podcast artwork is created by Arshwarya Sukesh. Original music is by Joey Sherman, and special thanks to Hari Savitala and Sarah Khan.
Don't forget to check out the Hoo Ha Ha website to listen to WAF and all things women-led comedy. And as always, please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you're listening now. This helps our show's visibility and helps us keep making it for you.
And find us on all the socials, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and even Twitter at WAF Podcast. That's WAFF Podcast. To find links to our exclusive vodcasts, live shows, shop merch, or even text us, visit WAFpodcast.com.
We truly appreciate you all checking in with us online. But you know that friend that you've been like, I really haven't checked in with them in a while? Go do that.
Yeah, go do that now.